Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Let me go to Mark Sargent. Mark, hi, how are you?
I'm very well. And by the way, I've been listening to the whole show. Steve, your caller is absolutely spot on. Steve, if you're listening, you were right 5 years ago. You're right now.
But he's not a flat earther, Mark. Just to let people know.
I get it. Yeah. I hear that a lot, which is he's not a flat earther, but he has questions.
Yeah.
And the correction real quick, it's 8 inches per mile squared. So it's 8 inches per mile per mile. So 10 miles would be 10 times 10, which is 100 times 8 inches. So 800 inches. And it just gets worse and worse until like at 50 miles, it's about 1,700 feet.
Okay, let me just do a quick intro for you, for people who don't know you, because, of course, we jumped right into you there straight from Steve. So
I'm sorry.
I know that's okay. We can do things the other way around. It doesn't really matter. I had said to Jane, my producer, on Monday, she kept saying to me, like, who would you like to talk to? I said, I'd love to talk to a flat earther. And she said, yes. And she delivered, of course. So I am intrigued to be talking to what the self-described flat earth recruiter. And for people who don't know, that's people who believe the earth is flat. So I am thrilled to welcome you to the show, Mark. From you grew up in Whidbey Island, Washington, and you started your career playing computer games professionally. That's something I'd love to do. I'm playing Spider-Man on the PlayStation 5 at the moment. Love it. Anyway, so I would love to do that professionally. So what, first of all, got you into the idea? Because everybody, from the day we start school and we're shown, you know, a little atlas or a globe or whatever it is, we're all told it's round. There's no question about it. Right. It's round. So what made you question that?
Oh, conspiracy boredom, more or less. I never got married or had kids for whatever reason, and so I had tons of free time on my hands. Looked into it, just about every conspiracy you could think of, ran out of conspiracies. Like, well, okay, what haven't I hit? What's on my bucket list? Well, I could look at Flat Earth. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And spent 9 months. It was supposed to only take a weekend. And 9 months later, I'm like, oh, crap, what do I do?
So you went down the rabbit hole is what you're talking. You're telling me you went down the rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Big time. Okay.
Yeah, I went down the rabbit hole, could not climb out. And so then I made a series of videos called The Flat Earth Clues, put them out on the internet, because I was like, well, the internet as a hive mind is very intelligent. People are dumb, but the hive mind's intelligent. And they came back with like, oh, no, it's not that dumb. And here's why. And people were contacting me from all different professions and different parts of the world. And here we are 9 years later with three. Oh, no, it's not thousands. It's millions. We've done conferences before the pandemic. I did conferences in, what, 8 countries?
Mm.
It was crazy. In fact, there's 2 meetups happening in your neck of the woods this weekend and next weekend. One's in Bournemouth, if you know where that is.
In the UK, in the United Kingdom.
And the other's in...
Mark, whatever you do, don't confuse Ireland with the UK. They get very angry.
I know. I was going to do one of those jokes because I know people say Americans are absolutely dumb, but I was going to say, Ireland, Scotland, what's the difference, right?
What's the difference? Isn't it the same place? Sure. Doesn't the king look after it? But okay, let's look at the obvious. The obvious things here, okay? Yeah. The obvious thing is, you know, ships sail around the world and they don't fall off the edge. Explain to me why, if the earth is flat.
Sure. Okay. Ships sail around the world, sure. But the same token, if the world was flat and you put your finger on it and you drew a circle around it, you know, and you came back to the same point you started, technically you circumnavigated the dinner plate. Does that make the dinner plate a globe or a sphere or a ball? By the way, we never use the word round because round can also be two-dimensional.
Well, like spherical, like yeah.
Yeah, spherical. But no, I mean, again, the compass works absolutely the same on a flat Earth. And by the way, why don't you fall off the edge? Well, we're not talking about a dinner plate in the middle of space. In fact, why is there space at all? Space is just an illusion. It's just images on a ceiling. You're living in a planetarium, a soundstage. A big building, you know, Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage, and that's where you are.
So why has nobody got a photograph?
So the water can't fall off anywhere, because you're basically in a giant lake. I mean, you might as well be in a snow globe sitting on somebody's desk.
Okay, but if it's flat, there has to be an edge, yeah?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. So where is the edge?
Oh, perfect. The edge would be Antarctica. Every other continent on the flat Earth model, and I'm staring at one right now, and it's not going to do any good for radio, would be look the same except for Antarctica. Antarctica isn't this snowy continent that looks like Australia in winter. which wouldn't actually Australia doesn't snow in winter, but it doesn't really matter. It would be spread around along the entire outside. Antarctica is much bigger than we think it is. And by the way, Steve's question about the Antarctica Treaty is absolutely true.
But was that treaty not originally brought in to stop people to stop the military experimenting with atomic weapons, et cetera, et cetera? That was not the purpose, allegedly, of the treaty.
No. The Antarctic Treaty was basically stopped to keep the general public and other countries from doing anything in Antarctica. By the way, it's the only unbroken treaty in the history of treaties. Mm-hmm. It was established in 1959, right after us and the Soviet Union figured out what this place was. And they basically wrote in, they said, yeah, no corporation from any country can do business in Antarctica, ever. And it's not even up for review until 2040. And you're saying, well, 2040 isn't that long from now. Yeah, but it was in 1959.
And so again, what would I see if I went? What's so secret about Antarctica? So what would I see if I went there? Would I be able to walk to the edge and look over into space or something? Or is that your theory?
No. But imagine if you did have access to Antarctica. First off, they're not going to, because of the treaty, you're not going to be able to roam around. The whole point is that oil and gas companies were never going to be able to go there with planes and helicopters and go off course. But eventually you would find not necessarily the edge of space, but probably the outer barrier, the outer wall. Again, think of it like a snow globe. Eventually you would run into the wall, whatever it is. And that's what I think they found during Operation Deep Freeze in 1955, 1956.
And in relation to, say, shadows and the sun's location, if the Earth is flat, how come the sun is located in different places at different times of the day and the shadows are longer and shorter at different times of the day as the sun or we revolve? I mean, how come that's happening if the Earth is indeed flat and it's not moving?
Right. The two parts of it, and you'll have to tell me if you're picking some of this up from your chat room, which is the sticks and shadows argument, real quick for anyone that's asking that in chat room, works absolutely perfectly on a flat Earth. But what we're saying is the sun and the moon, let's simplify it, because I know we don't have a lot of time. The sun and the moon are very, very small and very, very close and probably inside this place, inside the snow globe. So the sun's not hundreds of thousands of miles wide. It's only 50 miles wide, give or take. And so is the moon. They're just revolving around us like a mobile above a child's crib. And because they are so unbelievably tiny, that's how you can get time zones. Because some people will say, well, how it's drawn when you look it up at the internet, wouldn't it be light everywhere or dark everywhere? It's like, no, the sun is so small that we can't even draw it correctly in our own maps, because if we drew it to what we say it is, you wouldn't even see it.
Mm. Okay.
That kind of help?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm looking at photographs here, you know, and unless you're going to tell me... From NASA. And unless you're going to tell me they're CGI or they're artist drawn or... I mean, they look real to me. And I watched that guy only recently... leap out of whatever it was, you know, the longest free fall jump. What was his name? The guy that
the Red Bull jump. Felix Baumgartner.
Yeah, and looking down, we could see the camera. That was live. I saw a spherical Earth. You know, I mean, it's barmy to even think it's flat.
Well, no, because remember, fisheye lens, if you look out a hotel, and I'm sure you've stayed in a hotel, when you look out that peephole lens in your hotel hallway is absolutely not curved, but it shows you a curve.
Well, it's not a fisheye lens because it didn't distort his image.
Okay, wide angle lens. It's same thing. But they used a wide-angle lens on the Felix Baumgartner jump. And he was only 120,000 feet up. In fact, Neil Tyson, no offense to Brian Cox, the world's second most famous media scientist, but Neil Tyson goes, you know, he's the one from America, and he comes on and he says, no, the Red Bull jump was absolutely fraudulent. He goes, that was not the edge of space. Remember, he's absolutely an anti-flat earther, but he thought that it was scientifically dishonest for Red Bull to do that. And I get it. I talked to some of the producers that worked with Red Bull and I go, why did you run that shot? It was a wide angle lens. They go, well, it was a good shot though, wasn't it?
It was a good shot, in fairness. Yeah.
It was a good shot. I get it. You know,
Other pictures have been taken by, you know, the space shuttle, the Challenger and all those other space shuttles that went up into space.
Oh, God.
And we've seen those photographs of this beautiful, blue spot in the sky. Called Planet Earth. And it's kind of hard for me to think, Mark, that there's any level of sanity in thinking otherwise.
Well, let me throw it at you this way. When NASA was formed in 1958, and I'll make this brief, We were trying to be, remember, this was after the war. We were trying to put a big stamp, put our big flag in the ground. The Americans wanted to be the greatest show on earth. The easiest way to become a legend is tell an impossible story. So we came up with something even the Roman Empire didn't do. We told everyone the Americans went to the moon. Mm-hmm. And so we shot it in a whatever Air Force basement. We put it on television. And I'm amazed, by the way. I've been to Dublin. I've been to all sorts of different countries. And I asked them, I go, why do you think – I go, it's required over here in America. It's we have to believe it for national pride. Why do you believe the Americans went to the moon? And everyone says the same thing. Well, it was on television. And it's not, you know, like your news would ever lie about something like that.
But that, but those, like, but those theories, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I have a huge interest in you know, the fake moon landing theory. I think it's extraordinary. I watch all the documentaries and everything else. But there's also other documentaries that debunk the documentaries, that debunk all the other stuff, that debunk the flag flying business, and they debunk the shadows, and they debunk the fact there's no stars in the sky, and they debunk all those other theories.
You know what I mean? You remember what happened? You know what happened 2 days ago? You know, we delayed the, you know, because the Americans have never been back. In fact, no one's set foot on the moon since 1972, and only Americans did it.
Only because there was no purpose to it. Well, it was only the only reason they stopped doing it was a waste. It was a waste of money. There was no purpose. What? Well, they keep spending billions to go to the moon to bring back a few rocks.
We've said ever since the late 70s, every president, it's like, oh, no, we're going back. And I have seen this can kicked down the road to where 2 days ago, it's like, okay, we postponed it again until 2026. It's like 50 years we've been kicking this can down the road, and nobody seems to notice. And
But they took the money away from space exploration because it was a waste of money. Because, I mean, particularly when it came to going to the moon. What was the point of continuing the Apollo missions going to the moon to bring back bags of rocks? There was no point in it. It was a waste of tax dollars.
Don't forget, and I forgot how old you were, but you remember there was a space race, right?
I remember the space race.
And the Soviet, and then all of a sudden we get there, right? And then we go multiple times and Russia just quits. Nah, that's not how a space race works. It was like they would have put a small base, we would have put a bigger base, and then finally Time magazine.
But didn't the Chinese who aren't really the great friends with the Americans, didn't the Chinese say themselves they admitted they monitored the Apollo mission and they monitored it landing on the moon? Well, that's what the Chinese said anyway.
Right. I think it was Australia, but the Chinese. No, I don't think the Chinese had the tech back then. But the Chinese, by the way, who built supposedly their entire ISS space station, and supposedly they did it in 18 months, and there's absolutely zero footage of them putting that thing together. Not a frame.
Elon Musk wants to go to the moon, doesn't he? Elon said he's going to the moon.
Oh, don't get me started.
Don't tell me he's in on it as well. Is he? He's in on it.
He is our South African puppet, that guy. Oh, my God. That guy is so terrible. Nothing ever says comes true, and yes, he is absolutely works for NASA. SpaceX is just an offshoot of NASA in case something goes wrong, and the Artemis program has just been blowing up rockets right and left. Artemis 1 was a fireworks show. So, no, Elon Musk,
I like Elon. Anyway, oh, by the way.
I know. So many people over here do it. It's like, look, he is not freaking Tony Stark. Stop making him out like he is.
Okay,
he didn't found SpaceX. He didn't found Tesla. He's been backed by our government the entire way. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. It's your show.
It's okay. Somebody just texted and says, good evening, Niall. While I don't believe the Earth is flat, anyone who thinks that things are as simple as that, what they know, what reality is. Okay, I suggest if they are not aware of the double slit experiment, they should check it out online. It's too complicated to explain in text, but so mind-blowing, a real wake-up call to the fact that what we perceive as reality is anything but. I'm not aware of the double slit.
I could give you a class lecture on the double slit experiment. But I'll make it really short. The double slit experiment basically says that whatever we're looking at is not being rendered graphically like it should be. Meaning in games, when you're playing games, whatever's behind you isn't being rendered.
This is the one where there's a piece of card hanging down with two slits in it, and you shine a light at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen the experiment. Yeah.
In the computer world, it's called flashlight graphics. But the problem is, and again, this was talked about in a 1998 movie called The 13th Floor, which was absolutely genius, which is, why is that happening here? The double slit experiment happens in computer games all the time because that's what we design them to do. Why is it happening here now in our world? Basically, what he's saying is that this world, again, if it's flat and it's enclosed, then it's probably virtual. The only difference is we're in it, so we can't break out of it. But yeah, virtual reality. Oh yeah, I'm huge into that.
Okay,
but
so
most people don't get it. Remember the.
Okay, so getting back to the photographs, and again, I'm looking at a picture of from flat Earth people, and I see what you're saying the Earth looks like, and I'm also looking at another picture from NASA, that was taken from space shuttles or from satellites or whatever it happens to be. Right. I'm kind of going with their version because I don't know what your version
That's
is sitting
okay.
on.
That's
okay. But so
no,
your version looks like your version looks like it's somebody who drew it. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had to draw it. I mean, there is no footage from space. In fact, it's one of my proofs that I want to have done for people. It's like, because I've said, look, put me in a SpaceX rocket if you want to, but send any rocket up with a camera, I don't care if it's 4K or not, pointing down until the Earth forms into the globe. It's never happened in the history of space travel, ever. That footage does not exist. It's like, statistically speaking, that should have happened by now, and it hasn't. I mean, come on, we've been doing this since the 50s, and there is no footage of the Earth turning into a globe. And I know you're probably going to say, what about the Tesla Roadster in space? It's like, come on. It's like, it was like, they just like, okay, we're going to show booster, and then cut to car. It was brilliant editing. I'll give them that. But NASA is pure theater.
Now, I understand the point you're making, right? And what I'm going to say is I don't for a minute want people to think that I believe that the Earth is flat. But
I know you don't.
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, so I think it's wonderful to listen to people talking about it because I question everything. I'm a critical thinker, okay? And I love conspiracy theories. I might not believe them, but I just love them. And I love going down those rabbit holes as well. And I know there's a lot of questions, you know, about things that you kind of go, yeah, maybe, but the Earth is still round or spherical. Okay, do you doubt yourself? Do you actually doubt yourself?
I did for the first 6 months. I mean, this nobody gets into flat Earth thinking it's a great idea. I hated it. Everybody hates it. The T-shirt literally reads, "I became a flat earther because I tried to debunk it." And so for the first 6 months, I was like, "Oh God, this is going to backfire on me," because I put all my contact information. And then after 6 months, when all these subject matter experts started coming at me—military people and pilots and air traffic controllers—it's like, dude, it's not that crazy, and here's why. I'm like, holy smokes. This is everyone has that weird aha moment. You know, if you spend enough time on it, when you snap around again, we have a 99% retention rate. Mm-hmm. Once you're in, I know it sounds cliche, or you know, once you're flat, you know, you never go back, but it's true.
Yeah.
We have a higher retention rate than organized religion. No offense to religious people out there.
Okay. But if there was no buildings in between and no mountains in between, the human eye is a wonderful piece of equipment, by the way. It's better than most cameras. It's probably about 10 million megapixels. Right. You would be able to see a city 100, or you would be able to see parts of a city 100 miles away, but you would lose part of it because there is a curvature.
You can.
Earth.
And you can.
You were talking about the photograph taken from Mount Baldy. This is the famous one the flat earthers use.
Not necessarily even mountains. We've done stuff from sea level. The only difference is, okay, two things real quick. What's changed is HD technology. 30 years ago, you know, when HD cameras were absolute crap, you couldn't zoom in and see things. But now you can take a $500 off the shelf camera and zoom in and see boats off in the horizon that were gone. And then you can let them go away again and zoom in. As long as the water is perfectly calm, you could see the bottom of the boats. But the only distance, the follow-up question is, why can't you see Japan from California? Why can't you see Europe from New York? Why can't you see Mount Everest from everywhere? And that is because the atmosphere has a thickness. You know, we're breathing in basically a thin version of water. In fact, it's 80% nitrogen and 20% oxygen. Over time, it gets thicker and thicker and thicker to where eventually you just can't see through it. And that's one of the brilliance of the design of this place is you can only see so far. Now, if it was a vacuum, absolutely could. You'd be able to see very, very, very far.
And do people look at you different when they see you with a fly there t-shirt? Do they look at you like, hey, head case alert? Do they look at you different?
Well, back in 2015, it was tough. It was really tough. And again, no offense to Steve, there's so many people, you know, I've heard this so many times. It's one of the clips inside the Behind the Curve documentary, which is, I've heard it. I'm not a flat earther, but there's some things about it I think should be looked into. But now, you know, it's coming up on 9 years since the clues, and
I'm looking out the window and I see the North Star. Okay, And when I look out the window and in a half an hour's time, it'll have moved.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're moving. But you don't believe that.
Well, that's the big question. No, the general globalists or flat or general people.
The normal people.
Yes. And but we'll say that the sky is moving, no different than a planetarium. You know, and by the way, you can go into Google. You want to look up some fun stuff? Type in ancient cosmologies and then click on images. Every culture drew the same thing back 1,000 years ago, which is they drew a snow globe because that's what they saw. And only later, it's like, oh no, the stars aren't moving, we're moving. And it's like, okay, all right, unless they're not. And again, I get it. I understand why you would hide something like this. It's pretty scary. You know, one of your questions might be, why would the Americans keep it a secret? It's like, well, because by the time they figured it out, civilization was already built. Everything was already in place. It was almost 1960. Everything was pretty much the way they wanted it. You don't want to upend education and economics and definitely not religion. I mean, you're giving, the five major...
But when I've been on a plane at 25,000 feet heading to the United States or wherever it happens to be going across the Atlantic, and you look out the window, and on one side you'll see the nighttime, and one side you see the dark, if you're heading home in the middle of the night, right. and you see this beautiful sun on one side, the moon on the other, and you can see the curvature of the Earth. Am I delusional? Am I seeing things? Yeah. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, no, it's very Orwellian in that, the five lights, four lights thing, which is it's not that you see the curve. You want to see the curve. You've been told the curve is there so many times.
No, I can see it, Mark. I've said it. It's not that I want to see it. I'm not delusional.
I know. I know you said you've said it, but I will quote Neil deGrasse Tyson where he says, look, he goes at 120,000 feet, you cannot see the curvature. So is the most famous scientist in the world wrong? And I put this to, science kids, and they, like, start scratching.
And what about the pilot on that plane? If you're telling me that, the Earth is like a dinner plate, and if we're, heading on a long-distance journey, obviously the boat or the plane has to kind of go around slightly in a circle, okay, by your theory. Surely the pilot of the plane is aware of that because he has to change the degrees constantly to keep turning to go around this dinner plate that you're talking about. But he doesn't. He just goes straight.
Well, okay. First off, the distances are so vast that the pilots wouldn't notice much of the correction anyway. Also, the pilots don't make the corrections themselves. The GPS system does it for them. And don't forget that the GPS system is, coincidentally enough, is a United States Department of Defense system developed in the 90s, which was also part – it's basically just a repackaging of the old Loran system. But to your point, we've got a ton of pilots on our side because once the pilots all of a sudden started seeing it, They couldn't unsee it. I'll tell you one really quick. When I was flying back from London, I was flying on Iceland Air, and I bounced off Iceland and came back to Seattle. And when I was at baggage, one of the pilots walked up to me. He goes, hey, can I get a selfie? Right? And we took some shots, and he goes, yeah, love your work. He goes, I got to get back to the crew. Yeah, I go. He looks at me, he winks. It's like, yeah, we didn't talk.
I don't want to be seen speaking to you.
Talk about it. Absolutely. I mean, a pilot, you might as well tell, if you're a pilot, you might as well tell people you've been chased by a UFO for the last 2 hours.
Okay, what about the other planets? What about Mars and Venus and Saturn and all those other planets we can see through telescopes? We see they're spherical. Are you telling me that something unique about the Earth, that it's not? And the Galileo was wrong.
You're just looking. the stars and the planets and everything are just lights in the sky, just giant ornamental clock system that predates language. When you go into a planetarium, you look about, and I've done this with people. I was like, hey, take a pair of binoculars, look at Jupiter up there. It's like, wow, it looks pretty spherical, right? It's like, yeah. I go, can you land on it? I was like, no. It's like, why not? Well, because it's just a light on the ceiling. Who's to say when you didn't walk out of the planetarium, you're just not in a much, much bigger one?
We sent a rover to Mars.
Who said we sent a rover to Mars? The Americans?
We just don't trust the Americans.
We lie about everything. The Americans look, and I love being American, but like one of your callers said yesterday, and I've been listening to the show pretty much all week, he goes, we're showbiz. And it's true. We're absolutely the greatest show on Earth. It's like if we could create a lie to make us, to prop us up, to make us look better, we're going to do it as a country. Mm. And so, yeah, the Americans say we went to Mars. Oh, yeah, sure. Sure they did. Yeah, that never died.
Yeah, but we got this wonderful new telescope. Rovers. Look at this, the pictures that are coming back from this wonderful, the John, whatever you call it, telescope. This wonderful new telescope that we have because the old Hubble one isn't good enough anymore. And those pictures are coming back. And, you know, okay, they're not three-dimensional pictures. I get that. They're two-dimensional. But we don't have to be geniuses to figure out, you know, the 3D aspect of a photograph. I mean, when you look at something that's spherical on a 2D picture, you know it's 3D by the shadows. You know it's 3D by its shape. You know it's 3D by design. You know what I mean?
And we've torn apart pretty much everything NASA's ever done. And don't forget, I mean, take the movie. You're a movie guy. Take the movie Gravity. Right, with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
That footage is absolutely outstanding. You could intersplice that with NASA footage all day long. In fact, it's better looking than NASA footage.
But it is better.
Forget about Gravity, which is fairly recent. Go back to Stanley Kubrick's Opus, his 2001 A Space Odyssey from 1968. By the way, released just before Apollo in 1969. And that has aged wonderfully. You look at the Blu-ray version. It's gorgeous.
It's Stanley Kubrick, they said, that was involved in the moon landing, isn't it? Isn't that the one they say
he's... Oh, I absolutely believe he was involved in the moon landing. In fact, if you want to look at a wonderful documentary, look at the documentary called Room 237, where he built in his confession into The Shining movie, which he directed in 1980, which was basically that, you know, again, it took 5 years. Again, people don't want to talk about it. It's like it took him 5 years to finish 2001 A Space Odyssey, and everybody knew that the government paid for it. Defense contractors paid for his stuff. They were basically paying him to say, okay, what can be faked on film? And then by the time he got to the real mission, that's when he backed out.
By the way, if anyone wants to watch a movie called Capricorn 1, I'm sure Mark knows that one. Capricorn 1, it's a really good movie. Have you seen Capricorn 1, Mark? No.
Oh, God, I love that movie. And by the way, it's the only serious role I think that O.J. was ever in.
That's right.
Which is weird.
I forgot that O.J. was in Capricorn 1, actually.
Yeah, O.J. was in it.
Yeah, Capricorn 1 is a great movie about the fake moon landing and the whole cover-up.
No. Fake Mars landing.
A Mars landing.
And real quick, the reason that was produced, it was an independent film, was the CBS affiliate hated the moon footage so much. He's going, look, the producers know this. It's like, I could have made a better moon production than that. In fact, I could make a better Mars production than that. And that's all. It's like, hey, why don't we make a movie about it? Fake Mars mission. And that's what they did. It's a brilliant movie.
Poor old Neil Armstrong. Huh? God. This is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Right. Although if you actually go to the Kennedy Space Center now, they've changed the quotation. It actually says over the door now, one small step for man, one giant leap for humankind. Can you believe they actually changed the quotation? Just to be woke.
I'm in the middle of woke central out here, and it is bad. So
Mark,
bad.
It's been interesting talking to you. I still don't believe you, by the way, but it's been interesting talking to you anyway. And it gives people food for thought, doesn't it? Makes people critically think. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. And I'm sure we'll chat again sometime, Mark.
I hope so. And by the way, thank you, Jane, for bringing me in.
Thank you very much indeed. There you go, Mark Sargent, who is a self-described flat earth recruiter. There you go. I know it's madness, isn't it? The world is a mad place anyway.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.